Someone should record it. Oh, yeah?
Okay. So we dealt with the basics of Bishul. We dealt with in Bishul Achar Bishul. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about Arichas, about the applications of in Bishul Achar Bishul, in particular when it comes to Davar Lach, where again we had a machlokas rishon whether there is Bishul Achar Bishul by Davar Lach or not. Chaber seems to be machmir that there is Bishul Achar Bishul by Lach, and therefore once something cools down below the Gatz, the lettuce, we would not be allowed to heat it. The Ramah had some sort of compromise in which he was concerned about Bishul Achar Bishul by Lach, but only after it was Nitzdanin the Gamri. Which again can be understood in one of two ways. Either he holds Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul but had a kula that it doesn't kick in until the Bishul is completely gone and it's not hot anymore. Or he holds in Bishul Achar Bishul, but he threw in a chumrah that once it disappears completely, then we won't allow you to heat it up again. Now, so the definition a little bit of lach and gavish. So one thing that we did not talk about, which is discussed in terms of the in between, is ketchup. What's ketchup? Is ketchup lach? Or is ketchup yavish?
I think ketchup and things with similar viscosity.
Let's say that, and again, assuming that it's like, and then it's cooked first, like ketchup is, right? So what's the din by those types of materials, items? So, on the one hand, I don't know, it looks kind of lach, squeezes out of the bottle, doesn't come out so easily, right? The best thing is come to those who wait. But, on the other hand, it doesn't really spread. Certainly the Heinz ketchup, the Israeli ketchup, maybe slightly different if you put. The same thing is, I guess, would be true of cholent, right? It's cholent lach or yavish. Cholent is like, I don't know if there's any other substance on earth that has the same consistency as cholent.
What's in that?
Something like that, right? It's not a normal metzias. So what exactly it doesn't, you know, it's like a glob, but you can't call it a solid. What exactly is it? So Yorchas Shabbos quotes, right, the way he writes it, again, it just points to the fact that, again, what I was hinting to yesterday is that we don't have clear hagdaras in terms of what should be defined lach and yavish. It's not discussed so clearly. Right? Yeshnan dargos shono, it's in page Yudal in Yorchas Shabbos. Yeshnan dargos shono shal smichus v'machalim. There's different consistencies to foods. U'besugim shono shirotav, and even within types of sauces, which again, I guess would mean condiments also. Then it's not clear. So he quotes in the Ha'ara from Rabbi Yashiv and from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman that they both said that ketchup is davar yavish. Both said that ketchup is a davar yavish. So why? So what he dons on the bottom is you have to figure out, again, A, in terms of its consistency, and B, is again, a lot of what we were talking about yesterday in terms of the chumras of Davar Lach had to do with the role of the chamimus in the being a significant factor in Lach. And in these things which aren't really Lach, plus the chamimus isn't significant, the opposite is true. Hot ketchup is gross. Maybe cholent is different. Cold cholent is an interesting deal. Depends how long you've been out of a normal house. If you're in yeshiva long enough, you know, kol shant is fine too. But again, in cases where he's not talking about shant, he's talking about specifically about the ketchup. So he quotes that when you have what he calls a smichus, he says, but pashut de meichel nosli legamri, if it's completely liquidy, meaning ketchup is that in between, but when it's completely liquidy, then you're not going to say that it depends on that it depends on whether it's the chamimus is important or not. But certainly, where you have both of the factors, that the chamimus and the fact that it's not that it's somewhat solid, then or you should say that it is a double yavish. Again, ketchup seems to be that perfect, I guess, in between example where you ask most people, and their reaction would probably be that it's lach. I think that's not how we view think of ketchup, but he says that again, it doesn't pour in the completely liquid sense, though. It doesn't pour like water. And anyway, the chamimus is not significant. So with all of that, he says that from Rav Yashub and Rav Shlomo Zalman, the ketchup is a davar lach. So again, some of these imitin cases. I'm sorry, it's yavish. Correct, it's yavish. So again, you're going to have other in between cases like that, but it's important to keep it in mind. Right. Okay. And then he quotes the other issue about the dissolving from the Mishnah Berurah, which we discussed at the end yesterday. Okay. Let's talk about different types of kalim, in terms of kli rishon, kli sheni. What exactly are all these different types of kalim? We've sort of been referring to some of them in passing, but let's try and nail it down a little bit. So the Mishnah says in Shabbos and Daf Membeis Amibeis, Ha'elfes v'akdeira she'aviru merutachin lo yitien l'sochot tablet, v'anosin hu l'socha ka'ar l'socha tamchoy. So I think we might have mentioned this once beforehand. If you have a pot which is boiling and it's taken off of the fire, you cannot put spices into it, but you can put spices into the food when it's taken out of the pot and it's put onto the plate. Rashi says that the original pot which was taken off of the fire, you can't put in tavlin. The kli rishon kol zman sheroseach mevashel. That the kli rishon, as long as it is still hot, does affect bishul. But why can you put it in the plate? Avanosin l'socha ka'ara de kli sheni eino mevashel. The bishul process ends with the kli rishon, and once it's in the kli sheni, it can't be mevashel anymore, so maybe there's no problem putting the tavlin into it. So again, so what is a kli rishon? What is a kli sheni? So the Mishnah was clear that a kli rishon does not only mean if it's only on the fire. Even if the original pot was taken off of the esh, that is still a kli rishon. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Shin Yud Ches Yud Tes. Right, also I told Shem Hashem Alatzoli be'odo k'negin amadura. Sorry, Sif Yud, not Shin Yud Ches. Typo. Sif Yud. Also, litein tavlin beka'ara v'laros leim mikavishem. We'll leave the second half out for now. But also, litein tavlin beka'ara. You cannot put the spices into a ka'ara or put it into the kli rishon. So, again, just in terms of this, just define exactly what we're talking about. The kli rishon is the original pot, and the kli sheni is the pot which it has been transferred to. So just take the classic Shabbos case. The water in the urn is the kli rishon. You pump the water out of the pump pot, that was in our pump pot from yesterday, you pump the water out of the pump pot into your mug, the water in the mug is a kli sheni. Good? Good. So, question is again, the Mishnah did not make any chiluk in temperature. If you have something that was cooking in the kli rishon, you have a something that was in the stove at, I don't know, 400 degrees, and you take it out of the stove and put it into the kli rishon. I'm sorry, put it onto a plate, put it onto a kli sheni, and now it's, I don't know, what, 350 degrees, or you take the hot soup, you take take the water case. You take the water out of the pump pot, it's, I don't know, 200 degrees, and it's in your mug. So what's the temperature in the mug now? 195? It's still going to be above Yatzoleta. So why does Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni make the difference? It should be an issue of temperature. In theory, you could have something which is, you know, cooler in a Kli Rishon that we're going to say is Mevashel, and something which is hotter in a Kli Sheni, and we're going to say that it's not Mevashel. So what difference does that make? So Tosos and Shabbos, on Daf, again right there on Daf and Beis, says, what is the chiluk between the two? So he says that the difference is in the defanos. Why does it make a difference what kli it is? And I'll do it inside. So one of the most, I guess, fundamental questions in Bishul. To depend on temperature. Temperature is what causes things to cook. What difference does it make what vessel it is in? The Kli Rishon, since it originally was on the fire, dofnosov chamin, the walls of the pot are hot, u'machzik chomos man meruba, and it maintains the heat for a long time. That's what he said, that, again, the walls being hot combined with the temperature, as long as the Yatzoletis bo is asr. Aval b'kli sheni, afagav diatzoletis bo mutter she'ein dofnosav chamin v'holech miskarer. But in a kli sheni, the walls are cold because the pot was never on the fire. Whatever heat the walls are getting is coming from the food, so it's on the downswing in terms of temperature. And therefore, they said that even if it's yatzoletis, that it's not going to be Mevashel. Who cares? How does it answer the question? So, there are several possibilities. So, one possibility is that what we're talking about is some sort of, it's a halachic bishul, as opposed to a practical bishul. The definition of halachic bishul, again, and we saw similarly, the sun can cook something just as hot, in terms of heat, as the fire, in theory. And we said, Bishul B'cham was mutter. What do you mean? You're cooking Shabbos? No, it doesn't matter. The definition of cooking is the Torah's definition of cooking. The Torah's definition of cooking was that it needed to have a fire. So too, Tosu says, what's the definition of cooking? It needs to have had a fire, and it needs that the walls of the vessel are also infused with heat. If the walls aren't infused with heat, yes, it may be Mevashel, but that's not a bishul that the Torah was concerned about. Again, in terms of practical, you're not going to really get a good answer. Rabbi Wulig and other Achronim say it's slightly different, that the Yesod of Tosos is that it's not the derech to cook like this, which again is very similar to that bishul b'chamam. The derech of cooking is that not only is there a fire, but the walls of your pot are hot. Once you're doing it, that the walls of the pot are not hot, and you're cooking, that's a meshunadik type of cooking. That's not a normal cooking. And if it's not a normal cooking because the walls are cold, then that is going to be mutter.
Shouldn't Tosfos just have said that?
I guess that's what Tosfos means. Saying what else does Tosfos mean by the Fanos being miskarer?
Doesn't Machayelim say that if the Fanos, that you have to wait till it cools down actually, otherwise you can't use it?
What, the food?
Yeah, whatever you put in the cliche, you have to wait.
I don't know if it's exactly so. The Chayyadim has a chumra. Again, the emes is, I don't want to spoil klisheni for us. By the time we're done with tomorrow, a klisheni is not going to be good for much of anything. Right? A klisheni in theory sounds like it's very helpful, but once all the chumras that we attach to we'll call them the exceptions to klisheni, are fully spelled out, there's not much left to klisheni. The Chayyadim creates almost like, I think, it seems like he's creating a new category. He creates a category called Yad Nichves Bo. that if it's above Yatz, again, I think he's willing to still say, again, I didn't look at it yesterday, I didn't look at it, I was going to plan on mentioning it tomorrow, but I believe the way the Chai Adam says it is that if it's above Yad, so let us bow in a klisheni, that he doesn't have a problem with. But if it's Yad Nichves bow, again, which is a higher shear that your mom is going to be burned, then you have to be concerned in a klisheni. So the way he quotes the Chai Adam here in Klaus Samadal, right? He says, Afshin is bar losh klisheni, vashim gomel kazvei v'chai Adam, shima dover nebri klisehu roseach, ad kadesh ayad nichves bow, arezem v'vashim mea Torah. That's an exception to klisheni again, but he's not denying klisheni. He's just saying that within klisheni, it can't be that it's so hot. So it still doesn't fully answer the question in terms of the metzias. But in every other area, if it's above yad soledus, we would be concerned. We would say that there's bishul. So he not good. Mishnah Berurah brings it also. Where's that Mishnah Berurah? In Mem Ches. Mishnah Berurah says, let's talk about the bread also. But you don't put it into a klisheni as long as there is yad soledes bo. Ayin b'chai odom shagosef teheicha sheyad nechves bo l'kul yamu mevash l'afil b'klisheni. That's it. If it's this higher temperature of yad nechves bo, then even in a klisheni that it's going to be mevash. But again, he seems to be saying it as an exception. So what's that shear? So he quotes in here, different achronim, sheyinu yochol l'achnes es yodo b'lo sheyizkave. You can't even touch it without being burned. That's not just, yad soledes bo means that you would recoil, and if you would leave your hand there, you would burn. This is so hot that the second you touch it, you're already burnt. Okay, and the source for this may be this interesting halacha of the embati in Sifir Aleph, which is a little bit complicated. I don't know if we're going to get into that now or possibly ever. But again, not very nogei, the maisa. But that's these are the approaches that are given. Either that a halachic bishul requires not just the temperature, but again, the same way we require the ish, we also require the defanos. Or again, maybe the more lomdish way of saying it is that it's all about the derech. If it's about the derech, so the Rav pointed out, I think Rav Gula quotes this as well, that there's a problem. I'm saying if it's all about the defanos, if the definition of the defanos is the walls, then he said, what happens the following? The caterers have a problem. Right? By the time the soup, right, their soup is in a huge pot. They can't serve the soup from the huge pot. So the way that it's normally served is they take the soup out of the pot and they put it in these tureens, like the things you get, in camp when the soup is served, like the bigger bowls, and then it's ladled out from the tureen into your bowl.
We take it from an big insulated thing.
What, in camp?
No, in catering.
In catering? What do you mean?
You have a cambro, it's called. It's like a tall insulated thing, and they would pour all the soup in there and then ladle it out
into bowls.
Yeah, so it wasn't directly from the pot, but they would pour everything from the pot into these insulated things to keep it warm for longer.
Before Shabbos.
Yeah.
So that's another possibility of doing it. The problem is what some caterers want to do, or do, is keep the bowls in the warmer, which is a chop, right? So your bowl is what we'll get to, we'll call it a klishlishi, right? Because you have your pot that the soup cooked in, you put it into the tureen, which has a cover, whatever, to heat, and then it's labeled into the bowl. So they're afraid by the time you get to the bowl, with all the defanos being macaros, your soup is not going to get very cold. So what they want to do is they want to have you put it into a hot bowl. You put it into a hot bowl, so then it will heat up the soup. The Rav thought that maybe once you put the soup back into that bowl, the bowl's a kli rishon. Right? Because it was in the ash, it was inside the oven. If you have a pot which is inside an oven, that pot's a kli rishon. You take out there your pan of kugel, that kugel is in a kli rishon. Right? Then, so if the bowl was in there, again, it's a funny kli rishon, because there was the soup wasn't in there. Right? The bowl is the kli rishon, even though the soup wasn't the kli rishon. But he was concerned about leaving the... again, is there? It's not a problem necessarily eating the... well, it may be an issue of the getting the soup in. Presumably not, right? The soup is a davar lach, it's not in its time in the gamri, so that shouldn't be a problem. But if you're dipping or adding anything to your soup, so you have a much bigger question if your soup is in a kli rishon and if it's in a kli sheni or a kli or a kli shlishi.
That would only be a problem if you did it both to the asalimus. Like you,
correct.
Like you can warm it up, just not too much.
I mean, if you leave it in the warmer and your food is in there, it's not going to happen. Meaning, if they're leaving it in there with the food that's in, again, it gets a little bit more into other complicated questions about the caterers, about once they open up their hot boxes, are they allowed to close them? Can they put a towel to prevent them from closing? We'll get to a little bit of that stuff when it comes to warming up things later on. But assuming that it's at a high temperature because they want their food to be hot, and the bowls are just being put in there together with the food and whatever empty space there is, and it's hard to imagine that it's not going to get to at least the minimum shear of yad soledes. But again, 110 isn't, and the bowl is probably, I don't know, 70 degrees of room temperature to start off with. So once you put it in the warmer, presumably it's going to eat. Again, it shouldn't, not going to be so mice in your house probably. But but again, based on this, again, if you didn't understand this way, then you'd never come up with this. Right, but once you understand this this derech, then if it's all about the defanos, then maybe that should be the case here as well. Okay, there are numerous questions that come up in terms of the lumdus, in terms of the lumdus of this. I'm not really interested in answering every one of the questions according to the lumdus. Dehainu, let's take for example, there is a question of how to treat the ladle. If you have a ladle which is being put into the kli rishon, so is the ladle the kli sheni, and then the bowl is a kli shlishi, or is the ladle an extension of the kli rishon, and when it goes into the bowl, that's only a kli sheni. So the chorah, right, again, the Mishnah Brura says that if you leave it in the soup for a long time, then for sure you should, so if you leave it in the soup, hanging out in there, which again, if it does avoid some problems also, but then you do just have to treat it as a clear, in terms of the liquid that's left on the soup, which we talked about yesterday, it avoids any shilohs on that, even though we said there was a reason to be mekel. The Mishnah Brura does say to be machmir by the ladle, unless you leave it inside. If you look at the lumdus, and why should it matter? If it is the derech to cook in a ladle, is it the derech bishul to be in a, what's in the ladle? That's not the derech anymore. So why would there be any shaila that it wouldn't be a kli sheni? Of course it's a kli sheni. Just because it was dipped into a kli rishon, so what? So it was dipped in, again, that's what the shaila is based on. That normally a kli sheni is the liquid comes out into the kli sheni. Here you're putting the ladle into the kli rishon, but if it's based again, if the lumdus is based on derech, then that shouldn't matter. Okay, so there are those that try to answer, and the lumdus doesn't concern me as much right now. But then, again, in terms of the din that is brought down as a potential issue, and therefore you should be careful with the ladle again. Lamaisa, since we are especially if it's inside, which is a kli rishon, you should not have raw vegetables or something like that in the soup bowl that you're going to pour from the ladle onto those vegetables, because we might lechumra be treating it as a kli rishon. Okay, good. Okay, but Davragush, let's leave those out. We'll discuss those more when it comes to the exceptions. And if you want to try to spend time figuring out how the exceptions all fit into the lambdas, we can work on that. We can work on that separately. So that's a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. So far, seems pretty clear. Kli Rishon is Mavasho, Kli Sheni is not Mavasho. Tosfos wants to know, what about in between? What about what we call Irui, pouring from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni? So you could be Medayik in the Mishnah either way, right? The Mishnah said you can not add the spices to the pot. You cannot add spices to the pot which is the Kli Rishon when it's off of the fire. And you can add it into the Kli Sheni. So you can be Medayik that you can only add it once in the Kli Sheni, or you can be Medayik the opposite way, that once it's not being added directly into the Kli Rishon, that wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't be a problem either way. So again, the Tosfos says you can't be Medayik one way or the other definitively from that Mishnah. So basically, we have all the opinions. We have with Machlokas Rishonim, Tosfos brings down. We have three opinions. What's the halacha when it comes to Iroi? Rashbam says that Iroi is Kli Sheni. The Ri says that Iroi is Kli Rishon. Right? The Chora, in terms of the Lamdas, so the question is do you need the Defanos that are not hot in order to create the Kli Sheni? Or do you need the Defanos that are hot in order for it to be a Kli Rishon? But once it's out of the Kli Rishon, then it's no longer a Kli Rishon. That's again, but that seems to be the Machlokas. Again, Rashbam says that Iroi is already like Kli Sheni. Again, the Rayos we're not going to get into right now. The Ri says that Iroi is like Kli Rishon. And Rabbeinu Tam comes along and has a compromise. And Rabbeinu Tam says that Iroi is Mevashel, but it's only Mevashel Kadei Klipa. It only a thin outer layer is going to be mivasha, and that's the end of that halacha that the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Shin Yud Ches Yud. We read the beginning of it before, but the end of it reads again: Asar litein tavlin b'kara v'laro salaya mikli rishon. So you can't. Put the spices directly into the pot, directly into the Kli Rishon, but you also can't have the spices in the bowl and pour on it from the Kli Rishon. Why not? Says the Mishnah Brura, De'af de'tavlin ein Mishnah Brura in Ayin Dalet, De'af de'tavlin ein misbashlim b'Kli Sheni u'kanal, even though the tavlin, the spices, are not cooked in a Kli Sheni, v'haraya, it's only a problem to put it directly into the pot. You can put it into the food once it's on the plate. Which the brewer says, we pass like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's Mevashel, the outer layer. Again, Bishel still a Bishel. So you have to treat the Iroi as a Kli Rishon, and you have to be concerned with that outer layer. Then the Mishnah Brura says something, though, which is surprising. The Mishnah Brura says, "Vafilu b'di'evet asur im iro lehed yaleyan shol nifsak hakiluach." Okay, it gets a little bit of this question of nifsak hakiluach, is it still connected or not? Most of the time, it's very hard to pour something when it's no longer going to be connected when it hits the bowl. You have to be doing it from very, very, you know, high up or very, very little. In a normal case, when you're pouring something, it is. So we'll assume that. In most cases, it is lo nifsak hakiluach. What the Mishnah Brura says that's interesting is that asur is b'di'eved. Even b'di'eved, if you did this, the food would be asur. Why is that surprising? So it's a little bit surprising because, again, we didn't see the rule yet. We referenced it once before. We're going to see this at the very end. But generally speaking, the rule is that as long as there is an opinion that's matir, that's enough that things are not going to be asur b'di'eved. So here we have the Rashbam. The Rashbam said that Iroi is Kli Sheni. So how come the Rashbam isn't enough of an opinion, at least to say that, but yeah, but if you did it, the food wouldn't become Aser. So Rabbi Eider quotes in his book that it must be, that basically what the Mishnah Berurah is telling us is that it's so clear the halacha that the din, it's a foregone conclusion. The halacha is like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the opinion of the Rashbam has been nidcha completely. It doesn't even have the status of an opinion that we would be able to rely on in order to say that it's mutter b'dieved. Rabbi Willig was not so convinced by that reason. In fact, he wasn't so convinced by the Mishnah Berurah that it should be aser b'dieved. And he thought that that maybe the fact that the rule is that as long as you have an opinion, which again, he's not going to say that it's mutter to do, but to say that it aser b'dieved, if somebody did that, Rabbi Willig was not sure that there would be a reason to be machmer. Where does this come up, Lamaisa? So heating up a baby bottle. If you want to heat up a baby bottle, so you have the milk in the bottle. So can you put the baby bottle in a cup and pump the water out of the pump pot straight onto the bottle into the cup? Irui mikli rishon. So here, the Shmir Shabbos writes, Elachor, you can do it. Why? What's the power of Iro Timim of Ashel? It's only Kadei Klipa. What's your Kadei Klipa? The bottle. The Bishul is not going to go further than that into the to the milk, which is what we're concerned about. And therefore, he says that you could heat up the baby bottle that way. Rabbi Willig did disagree and assume that we should be at least be concerned enough with the opinion of the Re that you should put the water directly into the klisheni, and then you could put the baby bottle into the klisheni as opposed to doing it through Iroi, and then you can heat up the baby bottle that way. Good. Okay, good.
He was choshish for the
Re. He said that, I think we should at least be choshish for the... In this context, we should at least be... it's easy to be... I think what he was saying that it's easy to be machmir for the Re. Why rely on having to say that it's klipa? Again, it could be in the end, a lot of it has to do with the fact that klisheni in the end doesn't really hold up much. By the time we're done again, as I said, with the exceptions tomorrow probably... There's not going to be much use for a klisheni, certainly not for raw food, but even for reheating things, it's going to be extremely limited. If one wants to rely on the Shmir Shabbos, I can't say that it's a problem. It happens to be it's easier to just put in a cup of hot water, just pragmatically leaving the Re or anybody else out of the mix. Just then, you know, trying to pump it in and the water is going to hit the bottle and get on the counter. And as we know, the definos don't cool down so quickly. So it's not so much to be concerned about. We'll just very briefly mention the halacha which is found here in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Beis. The Shulchan Aruch says like this. Mechem shepina mimenu mayim chamen. If you have a pot or a kettle, which you take hot water out of it, so right. So now the hot water is in the klisheni. So muter litin lesocho mayim tzonein kedei lahavshiran. You can add cold water to it in order to cool it down, right? So that's not so surprising, right? The water is in a klisheni, and now you can add the cold water to it.
Is that what I'm talking about? The mechamim.
It says mechamim shepina mimenu mayim chamin. I think we're talking about. If it's already taken off, no?
So you're going to, you poured out all the water, and now you're putting into a hot but empty kettle. You're putting new water in.
If you're what, I'm sorry?
I just like things with the case. You have a kettle, let's say it was heated up, you pour all the water out, and then you put new water in, cold water into the kettle or into the water?
Oh, you can put it into the kettle.
Right, saying, okay, so let's start again. This one, for some reason, always confuses me. Okay. Mecham shepina mimenu mayim cham, and mutter litin asocha mayim sonin, in the Ramah adds in merubim, kedei lafshiran, in order to cool it down. So...
cool down the clay, or that there's still some hot water?
Lafshiran is to warm it up. It's to make them... to warm up
Lafshiran means to make something warm as opposed to hot.
Right.
So you could have something cold that's warmed up, or you can have something hot where you add so much cold water to it that it's going to cool it. That it's going to cool it down.
It's
so that's. I'm sorry.
It's Lafshiran. You're doing the mayim.
Right. So you're taking the urn off the kettle off of the fire, adding cold water to it. In order to cool it down. So the Mishnah Brura says, why do you have to add a lot? Aval mu'atin sheyuchlo lehischame michom ha-mechom ha-shteyat zolotis ben aser. Because if you'd only add a little bit, then that would be mevashal the water. The Chiddush said, if you pour it in a lot at one time, that's going to cool it off before the water is going to be cooked. Aval merubin mutter. Again, that's a separate. That's not what your concern is. And you can add water, either hot to cold or cold to hot, if it's not on a kli rishon. But the Ramah says, "V'mamayim merubim kolkach she'i efshe she'ispashlu rak she'afigu tinasen afilu b'kli rishon shari." Right, this is what we were just saying now. If the water is so much that it can't be cooked in time, you're just going to pour it, and it's going to take away the cold. Then even in a kli rishon, it's going to be mutter rak shelo yiyya al yidei ish, as long as it's not on the fire. So the Mishnah Brura says, so you can take the water of the tzonin into the chamin or the chayin of the tzonin. Ubishneim afila mayim tzonin muatne shadayin yad soledes ben achar atorvus, even if it's still going to be yad soledes, gam kan shor kevin should be kli sheni, because now it's in a kli sheni, kaim long in the kli sheni, enu mevashel. We paskin that the kli sheni is not mevashel, even though, again, this is even though the water is going to heat up. But if it's in a kli rishon, the machamin in a kli rishon aser latzuk b'sochem mayim tzonin, you can't add cold. V'udin the aser laros mem l'soch mayim tzonin and mevatim sheisbashu al yodim. You can't pour the hot into the cold. Because it's going to cause bishul. So that sounds like, again, we are concerned about the Eroi even into water. The Bir Halacha though raises the possibility that maybe we shouldn't say that way when it comes to pouring. Why shouldn't we say that way when it comes to pouring? So he suggests that maybe. This that we say that Eroi is Mevashel, Kadei Klipa is only by a solid and not by a liquid. Why would that be? Because the nature of a liquid is that as soon as the water hits it, it's gonna spread. A solid is going to sit there and have to absorb the or get hit directly by the cold. The water, though, as soon as you pour into it, it's naturally going to move, and therefore you don't have to be concerned. So again, it's not 100% clear how we paskin about that, but certainly even the Mishnah Brura, who was machmir by Eroi, it doesn't seem like the Chumrah would be the same when it comes to Eroi from Eroi onto a liquid as it would be Eroi onto a salad, like the spices or something like that. Good? Good. Okay, so... Okay, we mentioned the Chai Adam before. Again, in terms of Chai Adam with the Yad Nechves bow, so then again, the Mishnah Berurah explains that if it's a cliché and you're so hot, the Yad Nechves, it's going to be Aser. And the Chazon Ish says he doesn't understand. And, you know, you can just throw out the entire concept of cliché at that point, because where are you making up these new shiurim, Yad Nechves bow, Yad Chaladis bow? If you really think that we have to be concerned that the cliché has the ability to be Mevashel, so it should be Mevashel here also. So he doesn't. So he's not concerned. He's not concerned about the Eroi. I'm sorry. He's not concerned about the Schumra of the Chai Adam about Yad Nechves Bo. Let's just summarize a few cases in the Maisa. Just make sure that we're clear on it, and then if we still have some time, maybe we'll start doing a little bit of some of the exceptions to the Klisheni. So again, in terms of warming up a baby bottle, so we have, two options. Certainly you can put the baby bottle into a kli sheni, and maybe you can even do Eroi onto a kli rishon, again, which the Shemir Shabbos says is okay, and the Mishnah Berurah presumably would say is okay also, because again, even if you're going to say that the bishul happens by Eroi, which is kdei klipa, the bottle would suffice to be that klipa. What about adding noodles to hot soup? Noodles to hot soup. So there, we should say ein bishul achar bishul. So you can put it directly into the klirish, not on the fire for other derabbanan reasons, but you could take your soup pot off of the fire and add your noodles in, because it's again the noodles are yavesh, and we say ein bishul achar bishul, and you can put it straight in. What about adding spices to the soup? So we won't add them into a kli rishon, but we can add them to a kli sheni. Right, that's the case that the Mishnah gives the tavlin. Right, the tavlin you can't be ma'ara into the kli rishon. You can only put the tavlin into the ka'ara. What about adding?
Which spices?
Yes and no. Meaning, if there is something which is mavushal, then you're right. In theory, then it should be mutter even into a kli rishon.
Spices aren't kalei bishul.
We don't know what kalei bishul is yet. Okay. We haven't gotten to kalei bishul yet. So again, there will be an issue that we'll have to get to shortly. Again, in terms of the limitations of kli rishon, of kli sheni, I'm sorry. That there'll be certain things that even in a kli sheni we have to be choshesh that there is going to be some sort of bishul. What about adding milk or cold water to tea or coffee? Milk or cold water to tea or coffee. Right, so she mutter in the coffee cup, right? Sorry?
You have to add enough of it. A little bit we'd say would cook maybe.
No, not in the klisheni. This is in that you're adding it to the klisheni.
I thought klisheni can still be mevashel. Sometimes,
but we didn't discuss one yet. But within, as far as we know, there shouldn't be any. First of all, you are doing it to cool it down, and it's kadei lashirin. But anyway, what potential problem are we going to run into? You're putting it into a kli sheni, befrat the milk is pasteurized, so that makes it even better. If you hold it to Ramami Ikra Din, is assuming that there is ein bishul achar bishul. So again, none of those cases should be a problem. Let's see if we're missing anything I want to mention from over here before we get into the other items. Um, we're going to have to talk about, but again, we have to get through the exceptions to Klisheni before we can see it well, is going to have to figure out how to make tea and make tea and coffee. But let's look at some at these exceptions. Again, the rule that we said was that Klisheni ain't a mevashel. You guys are smarter than the rule and are already aware that there are some exceptions to it. So what are these... What exceptions are there? So one potential exception that we saw is this Yad Nechves Bo of the Chai Adam, which again, the Chai Adam is Machmir, but it does not seem to be that was a Chumrah, which we have to be concerned about. The other next Chumrah which exists is the Chumrah of Davar Gush. What is the Chumrah of Davar Gush? So the Mishneh Berurah brings down the opinion of the Marshal. So Mishneh Berurah in Samachay. That, again, the Mechaber had said you can add the Tavlin to the Klisheni. I'm sorry, you can't add the Tavlin to the Klisheni. But the Klisheni, Mutter Lassi's Tavlin. You're allowed to put the spices into the klisheni, filu yad soledes bo, even if it is hot, the ein mispashel shom, because it doesn't cook there. So again, that's our rule that klisheni is not mevashel. V'emunach b'klisheni dover gush, shayad soledes bo, yesh lizoyer boze. If there's a dover gush, a solid item which has the yad soledes bo, then you should be careful about adding the spices to it. The Yesh Poskim Shesovrin, the Dover Gush Kozman Shayad Soledes Bo, Dino Kikli Rishon. Because there are those that hold that a Dover Gush, as long as it is Yad Soledes Bo, has the status of a Kli Rishon. And that's the opinion of the Marshal, which is quoted by the Magen Avraham. Why would that be the case? Why would you assume that a Davar Gush maintains the status of the Kli Rishon? So based on what we said so far, the idea l'chora is that when it comes to if the ikar of the Kli Sheni is that you have the Defanos Makaros, is that the walls are cooling it off, a Davar Gush doesn't conform to the walls. It doesn't even need the walls, right? A liquid naturally spreads and then is contained by the walls on the outside. So the walls on the outside that are there can cool it off. But if you have a hot potato, so A, the Metzius is that we know that a hot potato maintains its heat for a long time. That's A, that's true. And B, the svara of the Defanos Makaros doesn't seem to apply. What are the walls of the outside of the pot have to do with the potato, which is sitting on the bottom of the pot in the middle? There are no Defanos Makaros. So there is certainly a reason to say that maybe when it comes to a hot Davar Gush, we should be concerned and treat it like a Kli Rishon. Again, that opinion is brought by the Mishneh Berurah. And the Mishneh Berurah says that we should be concerned with it. So what does that mean practically? So again, the most practical application is in terms of spices. That seems to be what we're going to, again, especially once we finish off all the things you can't do in a Kli Sheni. The main thing which you can do in a Kli Sheni, because the Gemara says it, the number of chumras that will attach to it and limitations ultimately have to be able to include the basic case that the Gemara gave of Tavlin, is you would not be able to add spices directly to the Davar Gush. Because, and again, anything you wouldn't be able to add to a Kli Rishon, you would not be able to add to a Davar Gush. What exactly is a Davar Gush? The post can give different examples. The Aruch HaShabbos brings of a piece of meat, potatoes, even says rice. And it's hard to, I don't know. It's hard to know exactly where it goes. You know, you have a bowl of noodles. Anything which is solid is automatically a davar gush. So I don't know. Over the years, I've spoken to Rabbi Willigan, to others about different things. It's not so clear that necessarily everything solid is automatically a davar gush. Could be, first of all, you need that status that has the ability to retain heat. You know, if you have noodles, don't necessarily retain their heat, maintain their heat that long. So again, there are certain things that are obviously davar gush, and then there are certain things that seem to be a little bit more unclear. He quotes here a chumra, which is somewhat famous, probably somebody in yeshiva was machmer on it along the way. There are those that, because of the chumra davar gush, won't put any raw vegetables on the same plate as their chalent or the hot meat or hot piece of a potato kugel, because they are afraid of that. There are plenty of poskim that are makel on that. Okay, seems he brings down the Rabbi Yashu was machmer, Rabbi Vazner was again. It's hard to say they were machmer. They say yeshli zahir bazeh. You know, you should be careful. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said that it was mutter. You didn't have to be concerned about it. Among the svaras that he said was, again, we saw that even when it comes to the raw items, when was the problem with bishul by the raw items? When they made it better. Even in Lu Yitzuyer, that you have to worry about the davar gush. B, that the davar gush is going to touch your salad. C, that it's going to be enough to mevashel it. Your lettuce, which gets hot, is going to be worse. It's not going to be. It's not going to be better. It could be. It's kilachar yad. It's mekalkel. There are plenty of svaras to be mekel.
Like a soup with salad in it. Chunks of potato or something, so do those have a status of gush or
not? So I think not. I think somebody says that. Actually, explicitly, I thought, 1 second. I thought I just saw that somewhere. Maybe it was in his ours over here. 1 second. Where was that Mishnah Berurah about Davar Gush? Are you paying attention when I said it? Samachay. First of all, actually, he quotes here the rice is brought down in a shach as being a davar gush, but most seem to understand that doesn't mean it means if you have like a large chunk of it. It's hard, you know, the single pieces of rice, which happen to be a lot of them in a bowl, doesn't seem like that same status as like this. So he says that he brings down the Rav Nissen Karelis was mustapik about noodles and kidneys. He thinks they are davar gush. So he thinks they are. I think I remember discussing it. I don't remember if it was Rabbi Willig or somebody else who was not so convinced that they are in fact a davar gush. Mem, hey, he says he talks about this. Sorry. Obviously, we have to check. I thought I remember saying that we don't treat it as a davar gush. We treat the item as a whole, and we would go after the main ingredient. Okay. Yeah, well, let's stop here. There are going to be two more major exceptions that will really limit Klisheni. I don't want to get stuck in the middle of them. And then that will hopefully lead us into being able to figure out Klishlishi, if such a thing exists, and how to make a cup of tea on Shabbos. Okay, again, the important klalim are, again, the Klirishon versus Klisheni, the Tosfos with Tefanos Mechamos versus Tefanos Mekaros, three-way Mechalkas Rishonim when it comes to Ire, whether it's, again, which may be based on the Lomdus, whether it's the extension of the Klirishon, it's already the Klisheni, it's Mevashel Kadei Klipa, the Nafkaminas of that, and then the potential exceptions. Yeah, Nechves Bo is the Chumar Dechayodim, which in the post-Gemara are not as concerned about. Davar Gush, which the post-Gem seem to be a little bit more concerned about. Again, those are the basic klalim, and the rest sort of fits into that. And again, we'll be able to pick up with the rest of the exceptions to Klei Sheni and making the tea tomorrow.
Shaflin or Belsky hold up like an insulated cup.
Thermos?
Yeah.